Today on Bold Steps, Mark Jobe encourages us to remain content no matter who we're married to.
Don't try to escape. Don't try to look for the easy way out. Say, right now I'm in a troubled marriage. Embrace it by God's power. Throw yourself into it and say, God, change me. Give me the grace to love this man or love this woman. Because right now that's my calling. I embrace it.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, President of Moody Bible Institute and Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. My name is Wayne Shepherd. Over the last 2 weeks, we've enjoyed a provocative new series called Straight Talk on Singleness, Sex, and Marriage. You can discover helpful resources by going to boldstepsradio.org. Today, we're specifically addressing those unique cases when a husband or wife becomes restless and convinced they might be linked to the wrong partner. Pastor Mark is turning to 1 Corinthians 7 to present a message he's called Being Content No Matter Who You Married.
Now the word sanctify means to set apart unto God. That means that the fact that you are a believer, it means that you splash over onto His life and He is set apart unto God. It doesn't mean it saves him. It doesn't mean he's born again. But it means that God says, aha. Because the Bible says that when you marry someone, the two become what? The two become one. And because you're sanctified and have God in your life, you're splashing over to him, whether he has a belief or not in his life. And what happens is God sets him apart unto himself, and God has a special work, a special word, a special protection, a special blessing on his life by the mere fact that he's married to you. I love that. How many of you know that the only way that we come into right relationship with God is a personal relationship with God? You know, it's not because he's rubbing shoulders with you that suddenly he gets salvation. Doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen through osmosis. God doesn't have any grandchildren. He doesn't even have any great-grandchildren. He only has children. You can't grab onto the skirts of your mother and say, she was a godly woman. I hope I'm going to sneak behind her skirts and that God's going to accept me. No, you have to have your own relationship. The same with your husband. He is sanctified, not saved, because he's in a relationship with you. And here's what the Bible says, or your wife. And the Bible says, otherwise your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. Some of you are worried about your children because you have a spouse that doesn't believe. And the Bible says that because you are sanctified, what happens is that you also make your children holy or sanctified or set apart unto God because your faith splashes over on them. And you become an umbrella of protection over your children because you believe. Now, they may have other influences, but they are set apart. God says they're set apart unto me. I have a special protection, a special umbrella, a special blessing on their life because you believe. That's powerful, isn't it? Notice what it continues to say. It says in verse 15, but if the unbeliever leaves, let him do so. A believing man or woman is not bound in such circumstances. God has called us to live in peace. He's saying, if this unbeliever decides, I don't want to be married to you. I don't like your faith. I don't like your church. I don't like your heart. I don't like your change. I don't like you. And they decide, I don't want to be married to you. And they walk out the door and abandon you. The Bible says that you're not bound to say, okay, well, even if they abandon me, I got to live with them and be married to them for the rest of my life. I don't know where they're at. I don't know where they're living, but I'm still married because I'm bound. No, the Bible says if they leave you, if they abandon you, if they choose to not be married to you, then you are not bound to that marriage anymore because God has called us to peace. He goes on to say in verse 16, how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Because you see, certain people were saying, well, I'm going to stay married to him even though he's abandoned me because maybe I'll be able to lead him to Christ. Maybe I'll be able to save him. Maybe I will be able to convert him. And it says, how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? There's no guarantee. Listen, I know you've been praying for your husband for a long time. I know you've been praying for your wife for a long time. There is no guarantee that your husband or your wife will ever come to Christ. Now, they have a lot better chance because they're married to you. They have a lot better chance because you're splashing over on them, but there's no guarantee that that's going to happen. Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? If they abandon you and leave you and you say, well, they're living with another woman, they don't know the Lord, but I'm going to stay married to them, I'm going to stay faithful to them. God says, no, you're not bound to them. You're not under obligation because there's no guarantee that you're going to lead them to Christ, no guarantee that they're ever going to be saved. In those circumstances, if you're abandoned, you are not bound. Now, here's what I want you to understand. The Bible makes very clear this. It's the before and the after. Before you get married, I want you to hear me well. Do we have a lot of singles here this morning? Just kind of nod at me if you're single, okay? Before you get married, let me tell you what the Word of God says. Before you get married, the Word of God says this. Do not be yoked together with an unbeliever. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness? Or what harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? Before you get married, it says don't even date a non-believer. You say, well, Pastor, they're so cute. Yeah, I'm glad they're cute. But the Bible is very clear. Listen, the cuteness is going to fade. But some of you are going to get involved in a relationship with someone that doesn't have a heart for Jesus, doesn't love God, is not at the same spiritual place where you are at spiritually. And it's all nice and well. You're all going to be happy that you got married and you're going to be enjoying it and nice to have a husband and nice to have someone beside you. But 2 years into marriage, when you're sitting alone in a church service and when you want to pray and he's not there to pray, when you want to raise your kids in God and he's not raising his kids in God, when you want to teach the word and he doesn't believe it, when you're trying to give them some faith and he has no interest in it, you're going to be alone asking yourself this question, why did I marry him? The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked. You know what a yoke is? I know you're not farmers, so you're not used to yokes. I brought this all the way from Spain. Believe me, it wasn't easy. This yoke came from a village in northern Spain. Someone told me it's probably over 100 years old. And what happens with a yoke is that one oxen goes in one part of the yoke, and another oxen goes in the other side of the yoke, and together they drag a cart around, okay? Now, you put two oxen that are the same size and have the same mind, and they can carry the cart very well. They kind of go along very well. Now, if you get a real big oxen and a little oxen, and they have different mindset, you know what? They can make progress, but it's not going to work very well. And what God says to you is that you are a believer. If you yoke yourself together with an unbeliever, then you will regret it in the end. You say, well, Pastor, I'm dating, and where's he at spiritually? Well, I'm not really sure where he's at spiritually. Well, why don't you know where he's at spiritually? That should be question number one. Where's he at? You say, well, Pastor, I think he has a Bible in his house. Great. I'm glad he's got a Bible. And you know what? He's got a little cross earring. Oh, that's great. But does he love God like you love God? Does he believe the way you believe? Does he walk in God? Does he want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Does he want to follow God like you want to follow God? Because if he doesn't, I don't care how cute he is. I don't care how handsome he is. I don't care what kind of car he drives, what kind of job he has. He is not for you, period. And I know some of you say, well, you know, I'm just dating him. I'm not really interested in marrying him. Can I give you another rule? If he's not marriage potential, don't date him. You say, well, Pastor, you know, it's a free dinner. Okay. He's jobless. He's an addict. He's an obsessive compulsive stalker, and you're going to get a dinner out of it? Listen, if he is not spiritually where you want someone to be spiritually compatible, then you do not date them. The Bible is clear about it. Don't entertain it, because when you walk the aisle, you want to walk the aisle with a man or a woman that's at the same place spiritually that you are, that loves God, that follows God, that wants to raise a family in God. That is non-compromising.
You're listening to Mark Jobe on Bold Steps. Today's message is called Being Content No Matter Who You Married. To access this program anytime, just go to boldstepsradio.org. You can also listen directly through your phone or mobile device and take these messages with you while you're out for a jog, maybe running some errands, or sitting in the carpool line by subscribing to the Bold Steps podcast. You'll find us on your podcast app by searching for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Jobe. And if those options weren't enough, we also have special teachings and announcements available on video through the Bold Steps YouTube channel. Check out our growing library of Mark's brand new video lessons by searching for Bold Steps Radio on YouTube. But first, we have much more to learn from today's message found in 1 Corinthians 7. So let's jump back into our study with Mark Jobe.
Well, here's the after. The after is once you say, I do, you say, okay, Pastor, well, you know, I married outside of the will of God. It was obviously wrong, so can I get rid of him now? No. Here's what the Bible says. Before you get married, you should marry someone that you're equally yoked with. Once you stand at the altar and say, I do, from that day on, it's God's will that your marriage work. Before you get married, it's God's will that you marry someone that you're spiritually compatible with. But even if you did not marry someone that you're spiritually compatible with, the moment that you say, I do, it becomes God's will that your marriage work and that you work it out. You say, well, I don't understand it. I don't understand it either, but it's the will of God and the Word of God, so we take it at face value. So if you're here today and you made a mistake, you say, well, I made a mistake, and if it was not God's will, then can't I get out of this marriage? No. If you said I do, it is God's will. I know right now if you're married, I know that it's God's will for your marriage to work. I know it. I don't have to pray. I don't have to ask God. I don't have to fast over it. I don't have to discern it. I know if you're married right now that it is God's will for your marriage to work out. By His grace and by His power, it's God's will. Now, he goes on and we wrap up this time with the last couple verses. Now he changes the focus, and you see that the last couple verses he deals with are verse 17 through 24. Notice what it says. He says, nevertheless, each one of you should retain the place in life that God has assigned him and to which God has called him. The next statement is this. He's talking to all believers, and he tells every believer, I'm content to embrace my calling. Listen, here's the point that he's making. He's saying every person should retain the place in life that the Lord has assigned and to which God has called him. People wanted to change. Singles wanted to get married. Married people wanted to get divorced. They wanted to change. They thought after they came to Christ, I changed my status. And what the Apostle Paul is arguing, no, that whatever God has called you, if you're single, then realize right now God has called you as a single. Now be content as a single. Embrace your calling in life. Embrace your mission field as a single. If you're married and you become a believer, don't start asking, how can I get out of my marriage? Start saying, I embrace my calling. My calling is as a married person, and I embrace my calling. I embrace my mission field. If you became a believer and you were a part of a troubled marriage, then part of your call is a believer to a troubled marriage. And that's part of your challenge. How do I make my marriage work? That's what he says. Listen, he says, this is the rule that I lay down in all the churches. Verse 18. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? In the Jewish custom, little boys would get circumcised on the eighth day. And Paul is using this external act and says, hey, were you already circumcised? Which is, I'm not going to go into the details of circumcision, but it's cutting a little piece of the flesh off of the male organ. And he says, were you already circumcised when you were called? Was a man already circumcised? He should not become uncircumcised. I'm not really sure how that happens, but listen. He says, if you're circumcised, don't try to become uncircumcised. And if you became a believer and you weren't circumcised, then don't become a believer and try to get circumcised. In other words, this is just the exterior. Whatever God called you in, be content how God called you. Notice what he says, verse 19. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing because it's just the outside. Listen, keeping God's commands, it's what counts. Not your exterior circumstances. Someone says, Pastor, you know, I got saved. I got this tattoo all over me. I had a friend who got saved and he had tattooed of a naked woman all up and down his leg. And after he became a believer, he didn't like it. He felt like, you know, this is, you know, not like the godliest thing to be walking around with. But it was tat all over his leg. So I didn't tell him to do anything about it. He kind of asked me. I said, well, you know, it's not the greatest symbol to be walking around with, but hey, you know, what are you going to do about it? So next time I saw him, he actually got tattooed over that tattoo, and he put like a little dress on the tattoo that he had. So at least he was creative, right? But the point is, whatever you're called, and that's who you are. Some of you have been called, and you have this or you have that, and you have whatever. You have been called in a certain circumstance, and God says it's not about changing the outside. It's about changing the inside. In fact, listen to what he says. He says, verse 21, were you a slave when you were called? In this time when the Apostle Paul was writing, there was slavery, and it was practiced among the Roman Empire in a big way. And so there are certain people to which Paul was writing who found themselves in the institution of slavery. And he says, were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. Paul's not endorsing slavery. He's simply saying, hey, if you're a slave and you came a believer, hey, if you can get your freedom, great. But if you can't get your freedom, that's your calling. You're a slave. Live out your Christianity even in this place of slavery. It's like if someone gets saved and they're in prison. They get saved and they're in prison. It's not, you know, Paul doesn't say, here's a shovel, start digging a tunnel. He says, you know, if you get saved and you're in prison, that's your call. That's your ministry. Maybe it's your ministry to minister to other prisoners. Live out your Christianity in whatever circumstance you are. If you're here right now and you get saved and you're sick, guess what? The hospital may be your mission field. If you're right here and you have and you become a believer and you're a plumber, guess what? The plumbing community may be your mission field. You don't have to change jobs. You don't have to look for something else. Whatever God has called you in, that's your calling. And he goes on and he says, verse 22, for he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's freedman. I love that. He's talking to slaves who were property of some wealthy person. And he tells the slave, he says, you know what? They may think they own you, but once you come to Christ, you are no longer their property. You are free in Christ because Christ has set you free. And then he talks, and then he says to the people that are free, he says, and if you were called as a free man when he was called, now you are Christ's slaves. To the slave, he says, you're free. To the free person, he says, hey, when you give your life over to Christ, you are Christ's slaves now. That's your calling in life. And then he ends up this time together, verse 23 and 24. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves to men. You have been bought by the price, by the blood of Jesus. You have been called. You have been bought. Your life belongs to God. It doesn't belong to any other person, any other individual. Regardless of your circumstance in life, brothers, verse 24, each man, as responsible to God, should remain in the situation that God has called him to. Let me close with this. If you're a father today, embrace your fatherhood. Well, I never wanted to become a father. It was a mistake. I don't care. Well, you don't know her, and she's trying to get money out of me. You're a father. Step up to the plate and be a father. That is your kid. I don't care if you wanted it to happen or didn't want it to happen. You have been called. You have been called to Christ, and you're a father. Now take financial responsibility. Take parental responsibility. Take time responsibility. Invest in that kid because you are a father, and that's just God has called you already in the state of being a father. God has called you, and right now you're a believer in a troubled marriage. Embrace it. Don't try to escape. Don't try to look for the easy way out. Say, right now I'm in a troubled marriage. Embrace it by God's power. Throw yourself into it and say, God, change me. Give me the grace to love this man or love this woman. Because right now that's my calling. I embrace it. I step into it. The call that God has upon my life. Are you a single right now? If God has called you as a single individual, then embrace it. And just determine right now, as a single, that's my call, that's who I am, that's where I am right now. I'm going to grace it by God's power. I'm going to be abstinent sexually until God leads me into marriage. I'm going to embrace my singleness and live it out as a Christian because that is my calling right now.
I know that someone may be saying, but Pastor, you don't fully understand my situation.
Mm-hmm. You don't know how difficult it is for me.
Exactly. You don't know the person that I'm married to, or you don't know how difficult it has been to be single, the loneliness that I experience. And I want to say, I don't know your exact situation, but I do know the grace and the power of God. And so I want to give encouragement to you, especially to that person there right now, that woman that's married to a husband that's just really hard to be married to. I want to challenge you and encourage you that God would fill you with a new kind of love and hope for the restitution of your marriage. And for that single, I'd like to pray for you as well. I know that there's some singles listening to me right now where you're looking around and saying, hey, everybody else has someone. You're going on dates and you're sitting at home in front of that phone waiting for someone to call you and it doesn't come in. I'd like to pray for you. Father, I thank you that you are all sufficient. I thank you, Father, for the person that's hearing my voice right now and is extremely discouraged. I pray that in a supernatural, unusual way, the way that you know how to do it, God, that you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, would reach out right now, God, and let them know that they are not alone. I pray for that person that's struggling with loneliness, Father, and has a desire to be married. Would you fill them with hope? Would you give them contentment right now? Would you remind them that you have a purpose and a plan? For that married person that's really wanting to just throw in the towel and give up, I pray, God, that you would encourage them with hope as well, that you would give them a new sense of your hand being at work in their marriage, Father, a ability, a desire, a drive to persevere until they see the answer to their prayer. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, amen. What a great word today, Mark. Thank you. And if you missed any of today's message or any other lesson in this series, I'll remind you that you can catch up online anytime at boldstepsradio.org. And while you're on our homepage, be sure to click on the link for our latest Bold Step gift. This month, we're helping you say goodbye to monotonous prayers and hello to a dynamic and fulfilling prayer life with Dr. Bill Thrasher's How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life. This comprehensive guide offers practical strategies, valuable tools, and inspiring insights to help you reignite your prayer routine and strengthen your spiritual connection. And with a foreword by the one and only Mark Jobe and his wife Dee, this game-changing book really makes for a special Bold Step gift. So, if you're tired of dull prayers that feel forced and uninspired, reach out today and request Dr. Thrasher's How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life. We'll send you a copy with your gift of any amount to support this ministry. Just go to boldstepsradio.org or call 800-DL-MOODY. That's 800-356-6639. You can also send your gift and request the book in the mail. Address your letter to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And if you are a regular listener of this program and you enjoy the teaching, why not become a Bold partner? Your support will help cover the cost of bringing you this practical Bible teaching day after day, week after week. And we do rely on our partners, no question about it. So partner with us today and sign up to become a Bold partner at boldstepsradio.org. I'm Wayne Shepherd, urging you to join us again next time when Mark asks if love is truly all we need. It's a message titled, To Marry or Not to Marry? That's the question, and you can hear Mark's answer Tuesday on Bold Steps with Mark Jones. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.